And we're holding the last line of Gimel Amud Beis. We left off with the Gemara had told us that that Malch Yisroel, you count the years from Nissan, like said in the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, Rosh Hashanah Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. Then the Gemara said, Goyish Kings, though, you count from Tishrei. So we started bringing a proof for that from the story of Nehemiah, where he hears something, we hear what's going on in Yerushalayim and Kislev. And he talks with it and talks about it to King Artaxerxes in Nisan. And since the year hadn't turned over, it was both the 20th year, means that the year doesn't begin in Nisan. And if it doesn't begin in Nisan, then we assume it begins in Tishrei. So then the Gemara said there seemed to be psukim regarding King Dariovish that implied that his year began in Nisan. Because you have something that the Navi Chagai describes them starting work again on the second Beis Hamikdash after it had been interrupted for many years in Elul. And that was in the second year. Then Chagai gives them a nevuah to encourage them in Tishrei, also of the second year. If the year begins in Tishrei, it would have been the third year, right? So we said that he was a melech kosher, and therefore they counted his years as if he was a Jewish king. But then the Gemara says, since we have other psukim that imply the other way around, the Beis Mikdash was finished in Adar of the sixth year. The next year, Nisan time, Ezra leaves Babel and arrives in Eretz Yisrael and Av. And says that he came in Av of the seventh year. If the year began in Nisan, by that time it would have been the eighth, because the seventh year would have began Nisan a year after the Beis Hamikdash was finished. And then, so that would have been the beginning of the eighth year, and Av would have already been the middle of the eighth year, shows that at some point Hechmitz, that he went bad, and therefore the Chachamim went back to counting his years like those of other Goyish kings. So now we're going to discuss how we know that. Mastiflara Kahana, Umi Hechmitz. So Rav Kahana asks on that, is that in fact the case that, now we said he has three names actually. We said that his real name is Dariovish, but he was also called Kodesh because he was a Melech Kosher, and also Artaxerxes because that was the royal name. In simple pshat, by the way, it seems at least that these are different kings. I mean, certainly you have the original Kodesh, the one who said that the Jewish people can go back to Eretz Yisrael, the one who's before, this is before Ahasuerus even, that he was saying that the name Kodesh can also be used of Dariovish, that it was a title given to him because he was Melech Kosher. As far as Artaxerxes, you have the name is mentioned in various psukim throughout Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. On Poshet Pshat, you would say that maybe it is a different king, but the thing is, we have the Kabbalah, it mentioned, I think, in Seder Olam, that there were only four kings of the Persian Empire, the original Dariovish, the Dariovish from Madai, Kodesh, Ahasuerus, and Dariovish, the son of Ahasuerus. So therefore, that doesn't leave room for an Artaxerxes. Therefore, that's why the Gemara is saying that it's another title for Dariovish. Anyway, so Maskefor Kahana Umi Hechmitz, is that in fact the case that he went bad? V'hoksiv, you have a pasuk. Rashi describes that this pasuk is part of what was sent with Ezra when he went to Eretz Yehuda. If you still have the timeline from yesterday, we can take a look. We said the Beis Hamikdash was finished. The second Beis Hamikdash, they restarted the rebuilding of it in the year 3408. They finished it in 3412. The next year after that, 3413 is when Ezra comes to Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk mentions a letter that Dariovish sent with Ezra with instructions. Or with instructions to his governors and giving Ezra authority to reestablish halacha as binding law in Eretz Yisrael and so on and so forth. So Rashi says that this pasuk that we're going to quote is from the letter to Ezra. It's actually not. It's actually a perek earlier, part of the instructions that. So what happened was let's recap some things that happened over there. We said Kodesh had given permission to rebuild the Beis Mikdash. They got started on it. The Tzara Yehuda of Binyamin, the Kosim, the Goyim, whatever, mastered on them and got it stopped. Eventually, after 18 years, we said the Nevi'im told them, go start rebuilding again. They started. At that point, a governor of the area named Tatnai, good morning, shows up and asks, what's going on? What's this project that you're building? So they told him, we're rebuilding the Beis Mikdash. So he sent a letter to Dariovish asking, is there in fact authorization to do that? So then what it says is they looked in the royal archives. They finally found a copy of Kodesh's original proclamation, and the guy in the pasuk quotes it, and Dariovish says, well, given that we found that, I'm going to go ahead and honor that. So Tatnai leave them alone and let them build their Beis Mikdash in peace. So this pasuk that we're going to quote now is part of that, is part of that, part of that proclamation of Kodesh's that they found, which now Dariavish is reconfirming. So why Rashi says that it was sent with Ezra is a little bit hard to understand, because that's before Ezra even showed up. So actually, I have a note over here that one of the Mepharshim says, maybe instead of when Rashi says Biyad Ezra, maybe it should be the Sefer Ezra, which it is. The letter is given in Sefer Ezra. Anyway, so he writes, Umo Chashchan, whatever it is that they need, they meaning the Kohenim and the Beis Mikdash, whatever they need, he's telling his governors, you are to provide them out of royal funds. Uvnei Torin, they're going to need young bulls for korbanos, the dichrin and rams, the imrin and sheep, la'alavan la'lakoshmaya, for korbanos ola to Hashem in heaven, chintin, wheat, melach, salt, chamar, wine, or mashach and oil, all of these things, as we know, are needed for the korbanos, kemeima kahanaya divi Yerushalem, according to what the kohenim and Yerushalayim tell you governors that they need, lahebe misyehev lahoim, it should be given to them yom b'yom, day by day, d'loy sholu, without any forgetfulness or without any carelessness. So in other words, so we see he's being very generous. He's saying that all of the expenses of the Bismikta should be paid out of his governors are responsible for paying it out of the royal treasury. So that's not Hechmitz, and this is already a letter. This is already a letter that he sent, we said, in the sixth year of his reign, or in the second year of his reign, actually. This is when he's telling them, go ahead, they can rebuild, go ahead, let them rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rav Kahana asked that. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak's answer is, Rav Kahana, Rebbe, mitunach, from your burden, in other words, from the very pasuk that you're quoting, which you're saying, it shows that Dariavish was such a good guy, you can see by the very next pasuk that he wasn't so great. Because Dariavish continues in this letter. Now again, remember, this is Kodesh's proclamation, but this is Dariavish confirming it, so we're attributing it to Dariavish. He continues, Di lehavoin mahakrivin nichoichin lelekoshmaya, so that they should be able to be offering nichoichin, like reyach nichoyach, korbanos, to Hashem in heaven, umetzalayin lachayim malko ubnohi, at davening for the life of the king and his sons. So in other words, he's doing it for ulterior motives. He's not doing it because he respects Hashem. He's doing it because he wants them to, he could use all the help he could get in people davening for him. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? So if somebody does that, is that not a mila? If a person says, I'm pledging this sela to tzedakah in order that my children should live, or in order that I gain with it life in olam haba, hareza tzaddik gomer. Such a person is a tzaddik gomer. Now, what do you mean? How does a person become a tzaddik gomer from one such thing? Rashi over here says, im rogel b'kach, if he regularly does that. So the fact that he's regularly doing mitzvahs like that and giving tzedakah, eventually, over time, that'll make him a tzaddik gomer. There's a few other explanations of it. One of them being, in fact, that the girsa should not be tzaddik gomer, but rather tzedakah gemura. A number of the rishonim learn that the gemara is not saying he's a tzaddik gomer; it's saying that this is tzedakah gemura. This is complete, perfect tzedakah. Don't think there's anything wrong with it. Tosfos points out. So we're going to give the answer over here, and then we'll talk about what Tosfos says. The answer is, like Kasha, can be Israel, can be Ovid Gechavim. Depends whether we're talking about Jews or Goyim. So the difference is that a Jew essentially is focused on Hashem. So he pledges for tzedakah, and he's saying, B'shdoshi yukyu bana. So even if things don't go the way he wants, he doesn't complain, doesn't say, oh, Hashem doesn't know what he's doing. He attributes it, you know what, I must have been not acting. There must have been other things that I was doing that I can attribute it to that. Whereas a goy is more likely to say, you know what, Hashem has no power, chas v'shalom, to do what I wanted. In fact, you find something very similar. You find a very similar idea. Rashi brings on Chumash by the brachas of Yaakov and Esav. By Yaakov, it says v'yitin l'chaha elikim. Elikim is midas adin. Whereas by Esav, there's no such thing. It's just hinei mishmani or it's yom shavecha. So Rashi explains over there the difference is by a Yid, by Yaakov, and by the Jewish people, it's Elikim, it's with Midas Adin. If you deserve it, you're going to get it. You don't deserve it, you're not going to get it. Whereas the Goy, whether he deserves it or not, he's going to get it, again, because we don't want him to completely deny the Eivishter, which a Yid is less likely to do. Rashi mentions over there that you have a similar thing. Shlomo HaMelech, when he dedicated the Bais Mikdash, he said a long tefillah about how Hashem should accept the tefillahs of people who come to daven over there. So he describes over there that if a yid comes and davens over there and he asks for something, so if you see that he deserves it, then give it to him. But the gamal anochri, but then also if a goy comes to daven by the Bais Mikdash, give him whatever he wants. Same idea. So the same thing over here then. So Goyavash being, as we discussed yesterday, a goy. Okay, we discussed yesterday, how is it that he's a goy if his mother was Esther? We went through that whole discussion yesterday. But anyway, here the Gemara is assuming for one reason or another that he's a goy. So therefore, so for him to say that he wants to have Karbonis brought in order that they should daven for himself and his children is wrong. Whereas had he been a yid, then it would be fine. With that said, Tosva says, what about Altiu Karbonim HaMashamshin HaSarab HaMonas HaKabal Pras? So actually, Tosfos says, in fact, that Mishnah is in fact referring to goyim. So by Jews, it wouldn't be a problem. There are a few other explanations of Rishonim, including the Rambam says that Amanas Lakavel Pras means you're saying I want an extra big reward, like I deserve much more than so that don't do. And there's also the idea that Amman himself writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that when a person is younger and doesn't have as much das and whatever, so fine for him to do mitzvahs rather. Amanas the Kavah Pras is not really so bad. It's not the highest level, but it's something at least. At least he's doing mitzvahs. Eventually, he should graduate to the point of doing it purely for Avas Hashem and no other reason. Eventually, you even have the level, for example, that you have at the end of Hayom Yom. The Alter Rebbe says, "I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I just want you alone." That's a very rare level for a person to reach. Anyway. So the point is, so we see from that hechmitz, we see from that's one way of saying that he went bad, and therefore the Chacham said in that case he doesn't have the privilege of having his years counted like Jewish kings. He can go back to being like Goyish kings, like other Goyish kings, and have his years counted from Tisha. Based on how he's acting. It's very interesting. It doesn't mean obviously he himself wouldn't necessarily follow that in his own official royal archives and records. Obviously he would count his years however we like. We're talking according to halacha, we're talking about as it's given in the Pesukim. I once saw many years ago a very interesting essay where somebody tried to use the same method on the kings of Yisrael and Yehuda to claim that there are certain discrepancies that we find in Pesukim about how long some of these kings ruled and how their years overlap. And he wanted to explain something similar, that in general, the kings of Yehuda, who were generally tzaddikim, had their reigns counted from Nisan. The Malchei Yisrael generally had them counted from Tishrei. But sometimes, he says, in the middle of his reign, you could have where the king went bad and they started counting his years from, and he started counting them from Tishrei, or he did Shuvah and they started counting them from Nisan. It was a very interesting essay. I haven't been able to find it in all the years since. I don't know anything more about it. But anyway, so he's basing himself on this Gemara over here that such things are possible.
Why is the Gemara relying on Goyish kings to determine when the Rosh Hashanah of the kings should be? I mean, it sounds very, very weird.
Hold on. We're not relying on Goyish kings. We're relying on what it says in the Pesukim about those Goyish kings. What the Goyish kings were, fine, they're long since dead, but the Pesukim about them are still part of Torah. So therefore, we can learn from them.
Of course, we can learn from Pesukim, but who says we have to learn that when the Rosh Hashanah of the Malachim starts?
Well, since we have Pesukim that imply when it is, then that's what we're going to learn from. We're saying the discussion now is when does the Rosh Hashanah of Goyish kings start? So a valid way of learning that is from how the Pesukim describe years of Goyish kings.
Fine, but that doesn't mean that it can be used to determine halacha.
As a matter of fact, it is. Once we have it in the Pesukim, you know what? The same way, for example, you have, Lovan says, Lo Yosa Kenim Pimenu, that it's not done like that in our areas to marry off the younger daughter before the older one. And we learn from that the halacha,
that's before Matan Torah.
It doesn't matter. The point, even after Matan Torah, there are things we can learn from things that Goyish kings say. As long as it's recorded in the Torah, then it becomes part of Torah. Anyway, let's go on. The Iboyasema, another explanation we can say, Minolan da Achmitz, how do we know that Doryavash went bad? Dichtiv, in those same set of instructions that he's sending, again, that he's reconfirming what Kodesh said about how the Bais Mikdash is going to be built, he says, Nidbochin the Evan Glol Tlosa, you're going to build it with three rows of marble stones, the Nidbach the Ochadas, and one row of wood. Chadas, some of the Mephoshim on the Pasuk explains, means new, so new wood as opposed to like wood taken from a previously destroyed building. Others say it means one, whatever the case, so a row of wood. of wooden beams, the nifkasam in base malkut hisyehiv, and the expenses will be paid out of the king's treasury. Now, what's the wood doing over there? Lama lay de'ovet hachi. What is he doing? What is he doing with wood over there? Savar, the reason is, the Gemara says, he must have had in mind, imodu bi Yehudai, if the Jews rebel against me, which after all, that was the whole reason why the rebuilding had been interrupted for all those years, was because the Kosim claimed that the Jews are going to rebel. So he has in mind, if the Jews rebel against me, ikli ebenura, then I will burn it in fire. So that's why he wanted part of it to be made out of wood, and that shows already that hechmet. Now, the fact is, Tosfos asks that all of this, this letter is taking place in the second year of Daryavish. We said before that in the second year, he was still a good guy, and they counted his years from Nisan. Only later on, by the time we get to the sixth or seventh year, are we saying they switched it and they started counting his years from Tishrei? So if we're going to say now that already in his second year, then Hechmetz, then when is there a time when he was good? So Tosfos says, okay, evidently what it is Hechmetz very shortly afterwards, already in his second year. It took them time to realize that. It took them time to realize the full import of what he was saying and to declare on that basis that Hechmetz and that we should count his years from Tishrei. But at least there was a period of time when he had given permission to rebuild that they figured that he was a good guy. Okay, so the question is, Otu Shloima le'ovet hachi? What do you mean? Didn't Shloima do the same thing? And obviously he wasn't doing it in order to burn the Mishmikdash. Vox, if Shloisha Turei Gozes v'tur Krutzei Sarazim. In the description of the chotzer of the first Beis Hamikdash, it says there were three rows of cut stones, of hewn stones, v'tur krutzei sarazim, and a row of wooden beams. So he also used wood. The answer is Shloima ovid milamayla v'iyu ovid milamata. There's a few differences. Shloima had the wood above the marble or above the stone. Kodesh and Oda Yavesh had it placed below. We don't know that from the Pesukim, but Tosfos said they had a Kabbalah, the Chachamim had a Kabbalah, that's how it was. So with Shloima, you can say the wood was there to beautify it. With Daryavish, it seems the wood was there in order to make it flammable and have it be able to be destroyed if he felt necessary. Also, Shloima Shaka B'Vinyana, Iula Shaka B'Vinyana, Shloima had the wood buried within the building. In other words, it wasn't sticking out, it was embedded further in the wall. Whereas in Daryavish's instructions, he's not saying that it would be more that the wood is exposed on the outside. And Shloima Sadia Besida, Iholai Sadia Besida, and Shloima, even though that wood was buried inside, he also plastered it over with plaster so that the wood is not even visible, which La Halacha, the Rambam Paskin, you're not allowed to build any exposed wood in the Bismikdash. All wood in the Bismikdash has to be covered. The Ravid, in fact, asks on that, where we see that there are certain things in the Bismikdash that seem to be made out of exposed wood. Or Gemara, I guess, could fit according to either one of them. I mean, we could say that Daryavish gave the instructions, but of course they didn't follow it to the letter because it would be against halacha. Or we could say that his instructions, fine. The Ravid would say, fine, it is valid al pi halacha. They may not have liked it, and we see from that that hechmetz, but they went ahead and did it. Anyway, so Shloima had it covered with plaster in Daryavish's instructions at night. So that's a second way that we see that hechmetz, the fact that he gave instructions to build the Beis Hamikdash in such a way that it would be vulnerable like that. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Tamer Rabbi Yitzchak, Menolim Da'achmetz, Rabbi Yosef, or some say Rabbi Yitzchak says, a third possibility, how we see that Hechmet, that he went bad. Mehacha, we learn it from this pasuk. We quoted yesterday the pasukim about Nehemiah, where he describes his audience with King Artaxasta, where he brought him the wine, and he even though he tried controlling his emotions, his face looked upset, and Daryavish calls him on it, and then Nehemiah explains that I'm feeling very sad because the city where my ancestors are buried is destroyed, and Artaxasta gives him permission to go rebuild it. So the pasuk describes the scene. Vayomer li hamelech, the king said to me, Vashegal yeshevis etzloi. The shegal was sitting next to him. Now, the basic meaning of shegal means to have relations. You have, for example, in the Torah, the ish acha, yishgolena, is the ksiv, and we read it yishgavena, which is a nicer way of saying it. So the basic meaning of the shoda shin gimel lamed means to have relations. So my shegal, so what is the shegal over here? Means a female dog that he used for that purpose, which is something that's also even to Bnei Noach. So therefore, we see that he wasn't keeping one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and therefore we can say on that the Hechmetz, and this is already the 20th year. So we said yesterday, okay, Tosfos said maybe it means the 20th year since the first Kodesh, in which case it's the third year of our King Dalyavish that we're dealing with over here, or maybe it's his actual 20th year. Whatever the case, the fact that he has a Shegal over there, this female dog that he's using for this purpose, shows that happens. So the Gemara says, Elame after. So if you're going to tell me the word Shegal means a dog, then what are you going to do with Hodichtib? How are you going to understand the pasuk Uriu you have by Belshazzar about 20 or 30 years before these events? You have Belshazzar's party where he took Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash and used them in his party. And then the hand came out on the wall and was writing Menemine to Caleb Harrison. Anyway, so the pasuk, they couldn't understand what it said. They called in Daniel to explain it, and he gives Belshazzar a long speech telling him why you're being punished. And he tells him, Val Morish Maya history manta, you raise yourself up chutzpedik against the master of heaven, against Hashem, Ulamonaya Debise Haisiv Kodamach, the Kalim of his house, the Beis Hamikdash, you had brought before you, the aunt and you, Vadabravanach, and your nobleman, Shegalosich, your Shegal, Ulchenosich, and your concubines, your Pilagshim, Chamra Shasayin Bahoin, were drinking wine in them. So Daniel tells him, what a chutzpah, for that the Eivishter is punishing you. So if you're going to tell me, if a Shegal is a female dog, does a dog drink wine? Why is Daniel telling him that you had your dog drink wine? And he says, okay, holokasha de mouthful of a shasya. Fine, that's not a big question. You can train a dog to drink wine. So fine, he had the dog trained to drink, and therefore, so Daniel is telling him what a chutzpah that you use the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash for that. Fine. Elameyata, what about another posik that also mentions the word shekel? Dichtiv, a posik in Tilim, in Kapitol Memhei. Bnois Malachim Bikrei Secha, the daughters of kings Bikrei Secha, and it's interesting that there are two possible meanings of what that word can mean depending on different Nekudos. And in fact, you have two different girsis in Rashi of what the word means. One is that in our Tillims, we have it written Bikrei Secha with the Yud silent and then and Dagish in the Kuf, in which case it comes from the word Bikur, meaning Bnois Malachim, princesses. Bikurei Secha will be among the ones who visit. They're going to come and visit you to out of respect. The other possibility, some Masoretists have instead Biyikurei Secha with a chirik under the yod Meloshin Yikur. They will be among the ones who honor you. So in Rashi also you have Rashi. What we have in front of us in Rashi is Miyakris Oisach Loilam Abba Meloshin Yikur. They will honor you Loilam Abba. But there's a different. And on the side over here, there's a note that instead there's a different girsa in Rashi, mivakris, they will visit you. Anyway, the point is, so the pasuk says, daughters of kings, princesses, will be visiting or honoring you. Nitzva shegal liyamincha, the shegal is standing at your right side, bekesim ofer, dressed and beautified with gold from ofer, which is a place where they brought a lot of, where they brought a lot of gold from. So the Shegel Kalbasehi, if a Shegel is a dog, Maikam Vasilu Navi Visio, what is the Navi telling the Jewish people? You're going to be so great, you're going to have a dog wearing jewelry standing next to you. The answer is Hachi Karma. According to that, we can say what the Pasuk means is Bishar Shechaviva Turda Visio, Kashegel Oivit Kachavim, as a reward for the fact that the Turda is as precious to the Jewish people as the dogs are to the Goyim. Because of that, Zechisim Lechesim Ofer, you Jewish people will have the schus to enjoy the beauty of Kesim Ofer, of fine gold from Ofer, La'asid Lavoi. So in other words, we're not saying that the dog is standing by your side. We're saying that the Torah, which you treat as preciously as the Goyim treat their dogs. Another possibility, and so why are we comparing the Torah Epis to a dog? So the Maharal refers to a fact that a dog is a destructive creature, and like they're into their destructive kinds of tendencies, whereas we instead have the Torah. Another idea is that the dog particularly is associated with Znus. That was one of the three creatures that it says that had relations in the Teva, even though they weren't allowed to. And the Gemara mentions that because of that, Kelev Niksher, when a male and female dog mate, they're stuck together for a while, which other animals are not, they're only able to separate afterwards. So therefore, a dog is kind of a metaphor for a person does an aveda, and it sticks with him on a more long-term basis. So we're saying the goyim and their avedas is like that, whereas we have the turda to counteract that. Anyway, the Ibois Emel Olam Shegal Malkasehi. Another answer, we can say that the word Shegal in that pasuk and in all the psukim does, or in general, that the word Shegal does mean a queen. So in the pasuk in Tilim, it can very well mean the queen is standing at your side. Maybe in the Pasuk by Belshazzar also it means that it's queen drank. So in the case of Daryavish, Rabba Balima had a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that the word Shegal there means, specifically there means a dog, not necessarily in the other Pasuk. So in that case, why, if the basic meaning of Shegal according to that is the queen, then why are we calling the dog in this context Shegal? Because she was precious to him as a queen would be to a regular king. Inami, or another possibility, Shiva b'makom shegal, because he placed her in the honorable place by the right side where you would usually place the queen. So, mind you, the Mefarshim on the Pasuk in Nehemiah, most of them understand shegal also in the sense of queen, and they explain, in fact, some of them explain that the queen over there is not Daryavish's wife, but rather his mother, Queen Esther, that she was sitting over there, and like she's the one encouraging Daryavish, go ahead, give him permission to go rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. But the Gemara over here, of course, is taking it in a completely different direction. Okay, so that's a third way that we know that Hechmet, the fact that he had this dog that he was using for that purpose. The Iboyesema, a fourth possibility, we can say how we know that Hechmet, Menolon de Achmet, Mehacha. You have a posik as follows. Now, this posik is from Ezra Perek Zayin. This is part of the letter that Daryavish gave to Ezra, where, like I said before, it told the governors to assist Ezra with whatever he needs. It said that Ezra has the authority to reestablish the halacha as the binding law in Eretz Yisrael and to punish people who disobey, etc., etc. Anyway, so he says in the letter, he says to his governors, you have to help pay the expenses of this mikdash. Ad ksat kakrin mea, up to 100 kikr of silver, v'ad chintin kurin mea, and up to 100 kurin of wheat, v'ad chamar batin mea, and up to 100 bas, which is a liquid measurement of oil, v'ad batin, chamar is wine, v'ad chamar batin mea, up to 100 batim of wine, v'ad batin meshach mea, up to 100 bas of oil, and salt without a defined amount. Salt, in other words, you can give as much as you want. In those days, it was a very common thing that kings had a monopoly on salt production. Like nobody else was allowed to produce it without the king's permission and paying him a tax. So therefore, like salt, he could say, you know, you give as much as you want. It's coming out of my treasury anyway. Anyway, so the point is, me'ikra b'loi kitzusa v'hashtabi kitzusa. Now, the pasuk that we had at the top of the Amud, there were no limits set. It said whatever the kohanim need. Now, all of a sudden, when he's sending his letter with Ezra the next year, he's saying that, or a few years later, he's saying that there are limits. He's saying only up to 100 cord of this and 100 bas of that. So that shows that Hechmet. Now he's becoming cheap. So the Gemara says, why? That's not a proof. Originally he's giving without limit. Now he's giving limits, showing therefore that Hechmet. The Gemara says, that's not a proof. Maybe all it is Daryavish originally didn't know the amounts. He knew they have to bring karbanos. He had no idea, he being a goy, how much wine and how much oil they need. Over the years, he found out, they submitted him a budget, and then he found out how much it is. So now he's saying then up to 100 because he knows they're not going to need to go beyond that. Okay, so that doesn't work. So it's clear we have to explain it. Like one of the previous explanations, That we show that Hechmitz, because he said only that they should do this in order that they should daven for the life of the king and his sons, which we said by a goy that doesn't work, or because of the wood, or because of the shegal. So one of those things can show that Hechmitz. Okay, fine. So that's that. So the bottom line is we proved that years of goyish kings are generally counted from Tishrei. One, you may have the rare exception of a Melech Kosher, where we count him from Nissan, as long as not Hechmetz. Fine. The next thing we said in the Mishnah was V'lo Regolim. We said that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah for Melochim and also for Regolim. So what does that mean? You want to ask Regolim B'Echad B'Nissan? What do you mean? The beginning of the Regolim, the first of the Shalosh Regolim, is not on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, B'Chamish Asa B'Nissan, who it's on the 15th of Nissan is Pesach. Amar Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, you're right. We don't mean that the actual Rosh Hashanah Lo Regolim is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. What we mean is Regol Shaboy Rosh Hashanah Lo Regolim. The Yomtiv that comes out during the month of Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah Lo Regolim. So the reason why we're calling it, that we're mentioning Rosh Chodesh in this connection is because Rosh Chodesh kind of encapsulates the whole month in it. So we mentioned Rosh Chodesh and it includes everything that's going to happen during that month. So the Gemara says Nachkinin lo noyder. Now, what's important to know that Pesach is the first of the Yom Tovim? The Nachkinin is somebody who makes a neder lo make a malay b'val ta'acher, that there's going to come a point if he doesn't bring it in time where he is going to be over on the issur of b'val ta'acher. So now we're going to have a long sugya that's going to extend over the next couple of blocks, going through the ins and outs of that mitzvah. So it's like this: the Torah tells us. If you make a neder to Hashem, don't delay in paying it, because if you do, then you'll have committed an aveda. So the question is, at what point do we say that he was over on this lab? There's not going to be any malchus for it, so it's not negeya as far as malchus or anything, because the lab shein memaisa, but still, we want to know at what point is he over on that lab. So now we're saying that it's relevant to know that Pesach is the first of the regalim, Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah then that says that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah the regalim would be according to Rav Shimon. The Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, Echad Anoyder, whether a person makes a neder, which Rashi explains, a neder for this purpose means specifically where a person makes a neder of Domai Olai. He says, for example, I pledge my own domain, my own value to the Beis Mikdash. So we figure out how much would the person be sold as a slave on a slave market for if we were to do that. And that amount is how much he's worth. So then he pledges that to the Beis Mikdash. The Echad HaMakdish, or whether someone is Makdish, an object to the Bedek HaBayis. The Echad HaMarich, or whether a person declares an Erech, where he says Erki Olai or Erech Ploini Olai, where then we look up in the Torah and Parshas B'chukosai, based on age and gender, how much he gives, 50 for a man, 50 shkolim for a man between 20 and 60, 30 shkolim for a woman of that age, less for a boy or a girl, less for an old man or woman, etc. Anyway, so Kivin Sha'ovru, all of Gimel Regalim, so the Tanakhama of the Braisa says, once three Regalim have passed and he didn't bring it to the Beis Mikdash, over Baal Ta'acher, then he's over on this lab. So according to the Tanakhama, it's three Regalim, regardless of the order. Reb Shimon Omer, Gimel Regalim Kesidron. Now, Reb Shimon says, three Regalim only in order. V'chag HaMatzis Tchila, and Chag HaMatzis, Pesach is first. So now, our Mishnah that says, Rosh Hashanah, that we have a Rosh Hashanah Regalim, is according to Reb Shimon. That the clock starts ticking only when Pesach comes. Reb Shimon Yechoy used to also say, Reb Shimon Yechoy is the Reb Shimon that we just said in the Braisa, but he was giving him his full name. Regolim Pa'amim Gimel Pa'amim Dalad Pa'amim Chamisha. As far as the Yom Tovim, as far as Baal Ta'achar, sometimes there can be three, four, or five. Ketzad, how does that work? Nodo Lifnei Pesach Gimel. If he made the neder before Pesach, then he has three Yomim Tovim to bring it. If he doesn't bring it by the end of Sukkot, then he's over on Baal Ta'acher. Lifnei Aseres Chamisha, if he makes the neder between Pesach and Shavuos, then he has five Yomim Tovim to bring it. Because then there's Shavuos, Sukkot, the clock still hasn't started yet because he didn't have three regalim to sit on. Only Pesach of the next year, almost a year after he made the neder, does the clock start counting down. And then he has that and Shavuos and Sukkot. And if he doesn't bring it by Sukkot of the third year, since you think about it, it means he made the neder, let's say, before Shavuos of Tavshin Pei. So he's got all the way until the end of Sukkot, Tavshin Pei days, to fulfill the neder. And if he made the neder before Sukkot, then Rav Shimon says he has four Yom Tovim, because then he's got Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. So therefore, so Rosh Hashanah, Lord of Golem, is relevant according to Rav Shimon. The Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, we learn a Braisa, which now this Braisa is going to drive the discussion in the Gemara for the next little while, because we're going to go through this Braisa and analyze it in detail. Chayaveh Hadamin, people who are obligated to give domim to the Beis Mikdash, which again would be the case, for example, where a person says domai olai, I obligate myself to give my domim to the Beis Mikdash. V'ha'erchin, or erchin, like we just said, where he says erki olai. V'ha'charomin, or if a person makes a pledge of a cherem. Now there are two types of cherem. There's cherem gavoya, which is essentially a form of hektish, and then there's cherem koyanim, where those are given to the koyanim of the mishmar that's on duty, and then so until it's given to them, it's considered hektish. As soon as they receive it, it becomes cholin, and they can use it for whatever they want. Rashi says we're talking about over here about cherme gavoya, which is the first type. Tosfos says that actually it could be either kind. Tosfos also mentions in this connection, by the way, that if a person pledges tzedakah, which he's going to give to the gabbai tzedakah, then if he doesn't give it soon enough to the gabbai, he's going to be over on bal ta'achar. The gabbai tzedakah himself, on the other hand, is not going to be over if he delays in giving it out to the aniyim, because we leave it up to his discretion when he should give it out. On the other hand, if a person makes a neder that he himself is going to give tzedakah, then he's not necessarily over on bal ta'achar. We're actually going to talk about that point later on in the next couple of blot, about that a person can be over on bal ta'achar of tzedakah, and when he's over and when he's over, given that obviously tzedakah to aniyim or is not tied to the sholosh regalim, per se. So we'll get to that. Anyway, so v'hakadeshus. Same idea, but actually same. V'hakadeshus. So we're going to say now that it applies not only to kavanas. No, we just started saying it applies to domim and erchim and charomim, which are all things that go to bedek abayis. So in accordance to Tosfos, charomim means even cherme koyanim. It really more depends on the fact that you made a neder. Chatois v'asham, and not just a neder. Chatois v'asham is a person is chayav chatas or nosham. There's no neder over there, but he still has to bring it within a certain amount of time. Oilas shlomim, or if a person pledged an oilo shlomim. Tzedakah, if a person pledged tzedakah, and again, we're going to talk about that in more detail later on in the Gemara. So Tosfos mentions over here briefly that if there are aniyim around, then a person is over on bal ta'achar very short term because there are aniyim around. Why are you not giving it to them? As opposed to if there are no aniyim in the vicinity, then you're not over on, then you can have then so once shalosh regalim are finishing, then you have to go look for the poor people. But up to shalosh regalim, you'd be allowed to. So Tosfos mentions that briefly. We're going to talk about it in more detail on that vol, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so that's tzedakahs. Miseris, also miser, where we mean miser produce, miserishin, miser sheni, miser oni. Tosfos discusses over here a little bit. What are we talking about? That a person delays separating them in the first place, or are we talking about that the person separated them but delays giving them to the kohenim and to the levim and aniyim, etc.? Because you do have a concept called vidri miser. You have kisachala laser. The Torah tells you can wait until the third and sixth year of Shemitah, respectively, and give out your maestros to the Levium and the Aniyim and whatever, and then you say vidui maestro be out yakodesh min abayis. So obviously that's a lot much more than shalosh regalim. But so that's what Tosfos discusses, that we're talking about over here, that at those points, the point is, even if the person has not yet separated out his truma and maestro, now he first has to do that. Once he does that, then he has to give it to the aniyim. As opposed to when we talk about over here that he can be over on bal ta'achar with maisers means that he didn't even separate them yet. So then he has so it just discusses back and forth about that. Anyway, so that's maisers. Bechor, a bechor of an animal, where you have to give it to the kohen, and then in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it was brought as a korban, and nowadays the kohen wait till it develops a mum and then eats it. Vamaiser, and maiser behema, same idea, you bring it as a korban. Pesach, and the korban Pesach, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean the korban Pesach? We only have one day a year, you bring it, how's their bal ta'achar? We'll get to that tomorrow, Beis Hashem. So all of those things, also leket shikhol peah, also the leket shikha and peah that are supposed to be given to the aniyim. And Tosfos says, what we're talking about over here, we're not talking about where usually they're left in the field and the aniyim come and pick them up. Here we're talking about where you yourself collected them from the field for one reason or another. One reason, again, might be because there are no aniyim around. Let's say there are no aniyim around. You're not supposed to just leave them for the birds to eat. So then fine, you gather them and bring them into your house. But now, within shalosh regalim, you have to give it to the aniyim. So all of those, kiven sha'over aleh and shloisha regalim, once three regalim have passed and you've not given these things to where they're supposed to go, over bal ta'achar, at that point you're over on the issur of bal ta'achar. That's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon, is shloisha regalim kesidran. Again, like we had before, Reb Shimon says the three yom tovim have to be in the order, v'chag ha'matzis tchila, the first one being Pesach. Reb Meir oim a kiven sha'over aleh and regal echad over bal ta'achar. Reb Meir says once one yom tov passes, then you're already over on bal ta'achar, not three like the Tanakhama said, and not certainly three, four, or five like Reb Shimon says. The Gemara is going to explain soon. We're going to start going through how each of them knows what he's saying. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, a kiven shavar len shnei regalim over bal ta'achar. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says once two regalim have passed, then you're over. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Omer, kiven shavar len chagas sukkos over len bal ta'achar. And a fifth opinion is Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon that once Sukkos has passed in the Oivran Baal Tachar. So in other words, according to him, it could be 1, 2, or 3 Yom Tovim. If you made the Neder or you were Chayiv in the Chatas or whatever before Sukkos, then if you didn't bring it by the end of that same Yom Tov of Sukkos, then you're Oivran Baal Tachar. As opposed to if you made the Neder before Pesach, then you have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So 5 different opinions. So now let's go through the opinions and see where each of them knows what he's saying. So my Tana, the Tana Kama, let's start with the Tana Kama. Why does he say that it's 3 regalim and it doesn't matter the order? He says, but you have it like this. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says at the end of Parashas Re'eh, Sholish Pam Vashana Yerochos Chuchas Pnei Hashem Alekecha, 3 times a year all your males should appear in front of Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, and B'chagamatzis, B'chagashvuos, B'chagasukkos, V'lo Yerochos Pnei Hashem Re'ekam, Hashem's face should not be seen empty-handed, meaning you need to bring your korbanos. So the Tana Kama says, Mechti minayu solid. Now we just finished discussing the Sholosh Regalim. The Pesukim before that, at the end of Parashas Re'eh, talk about Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. So now when it's summarizing and saying Sholosh Regalim Hashana, Lomali Lamedu, Mechti b'chagamatzis, b'chag Shavuos, b'chag Sukkos. Why does it have to list them again? We know already that those are the Sholosh Regalim. So therefore it means the Torah is telling us, given that we have elsewhere in the Torah, in Parashas Kisetze, an Issur of Baal Ta'achar. So in other words, when the Torah is saying, V'lo yiro panay reka, means if you have an outstanding neder or an outstanding choiva, bring it on one of those Sholosh Regalim, and if you don't bring it by the time all 3 of those Regalim have passed, then you're over on Baal Ta'achar. Rab Shimon Omer. Now, what does Rab Shimon answer to that? Why does he say it has to be in order? He says, "Ain it tzarich lomer b'chagas sukkos shabay dibur akasim." Fine, but particularly among the Yom Tovim, it didn't need, even when it repeats them, it didn't need to mention chagas sukkos because the pasuk Sholosh Pam Vashana is in direct continuation of where it talks about sukkos. It starts saying chagas sukkos tasa l'choshivas yomim v'samachta b'chagecha. And then it continues, and then it continues, Sholosh Pam Vashana. So even if we said that it had to mention Chagamatzis and Chagashvuos, it didn't have to say again Chagasukkos. So, well, it could have said Chagamatzis or Chagashvuos, or Vazeh, or something like that, you know, or something like that. So Loma Nemar, so why did it mention Chagasukkos again? Loma Shazeh Achron, the reason must be to tell us that that's the last one in the sequence, and therefore, in other words, that you're not over on Baal Ta'achar until there's a full sequence of 3 of them in order, Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. Tosfos brings Rabbi Hananel has a different gusa where he says Rabbi Shimon is learning more from the fact that it says that's by Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, never mind, we'll get to him. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon says, since it says Chagas Sukkos, when it didn't need to, then it means Chagas Sukkos has to be the last one in the chain. Next, Rabbi Meir, my timer. Why does Rabbi Meir say he's over after only 1 Yom Tov? Because you have a different pasuk, Uvasa Shoma V'Abesim Shoma. The pasuk says, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, early at the beginning of Parashas Re'eh, it says, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you should bring me your karbanos, implying the first time that you came, the first regal that you came, then you have to bring your karbanos. Their Rabbanan, what are the other Chachamim answer to that? They say, Ha'ula Eseh. Sure, that pasuk is telling us, if you don't bring it the first Yom Tov, then you're over on an Eseh. But to be over on the Loiseh, say that you need more Yom Tov. Rab Meir, what would Rab Meir answer to that? He knows the difference between Esa and Alois Esa. He answers, okay, but Kivin to Omale Rachmana Isi, Veloy Isi, since the Torah tells him bring it and tells him there's a mitzvah saseh, and he fails to do that, Mimela, come leva Baal Ta'achar. So automatically at that point, Baal Ta'achar kicks in. In other words, according to Rab Meir, Baal Ta'achar and Vahvesim Shama are very closely related. As soon as you're over on one, then you're over on the other one. Just like you have, I mean, fine, you know, you have that with many things. For example, you have, let's say, an Esseh and a Lois Esseh by Shabbos. So as soon as a person is over and does Malacha on Shabbos, then he's over both an Esseh and a Lois Esseh. Same idea, Rabbi Meir says. Next, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, my timer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said he had 2 Yom Tovim to bring it. Where does he get that from? Dichtiv, because you have at the end of Parashas Pinchas, after it describes the Korbanos of all the Yom Tovim, it says, Eila Tasu Lashem Moyadechem. These are the things, these are the korbanos that you should bring to Hashem on your moyadim and moyadim shnayim. The minimum number, when it says moyadeichem, your yom tovim, without specifying a number, the minimum, plural, is 2. Therefore, it means that you have 2 yom tovim. Now, Tosfos says, it's true, the pasuk is talking about the korbanos choiva, the Kovanas, the Tmidim and Musafim that you bring each of the days of Yom Tov. But it also continues, Levad min Nidreichem and Nidveisechem. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, since it mentioned Nidreichem and Nidveisechem, then that's reason enough to say that Moyadechem goes on them as well. So therefore, so you have two. V'Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, Ahu l'chidr b'yoyna. That pasuk, v'mayadeichem, instead teaches us a whole different concept that Rabbi Yonah said, the Amr Rabbi Yonah, hukshu kol ha-moyedim kolam zelazeh. Rabbi Yonah says that there's a hekesh in that pasuk that all the moyedim are compared, and the moyedim for this purpose includes also Rosh Chodesh, which is also described over there in Parashas Pinchas, shekulam mechaprim al tumas mikdash v'kodshav. Each of them you have on Rosh Chodesh, and each of the Yom Tovim, you have a soyer for a chatas. You have at the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, there's a machlokas between, there's a long mission over there, and with several different opinions of Tanoim about what are these various Seirim Mechaper for. So basically, we say that they're Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash B'Kodshav, that they're Mechaper, a person mistakenly went into the Beis Mikdash or ate Kodshim without realizing that they were Tomei. But now you have like this. There are cases where a person does that, where he himself has to bring a korban olam yodid. That is a case that's called, there was yediyah b'tchilah v'yediyah b'soif b'helam in time. Let's say, for example, a person knew that he was tamei, then he forgot that he was tamei, went into this mikdash, then later on realized, you know what, when I went into this mikdash, I was tamei. Then he brings his own korban. Now you have various other cases where he didn't know at the beginning, or he didn't know at the end, or he didn't know at all. And the Chachamim over there disagree on what exact, which case, which of those cases are dealt with by which Seirim throughout the year. So Rabbi Yonah brings as a proof for one of the opinions over there that we learned that now the Seir of Rosh Chodesh we know is Mechapa for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, because the Pasuk says so in Parashas Shmini, when Moshe is yelling at Elazar and Isamar for burning one of the chatois on Yom Shmini Lemeluim, he tells them, why didn't you eat the chatos? But Oysa Nosa Machem Lo Seis Es Avon Ha'edah, he gave it to you to bear away the Avera of the people, which means Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. So therefore, so we see that Sard of Rosh Chodesh is for that purpose. Rabbi Yonah's Hekesh teaches us that the same thing applies to all the Seirim that are brought on all the Yom Tovim throughout the year. So therefore, so now you have different other opinions about that in the Mishnah and the Gemara over there, but Rabbi Yonah's Drasha, the Chachamim over here are saying, therefore we don't have it available for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to say that after two regalim, you're over on Baal Ta'achar, because instead we're learning that from it, that all the Moyadim are compared one to another as far as this. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, my time. Now we have the fifth opinion in the Braisa top of the Yomud. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon had said that as soon as Sukkos passes, then you're over on Baal Ta'achar, whether it's the first or second or third Yom Tov. So why does he say that? My time, the Tanya, because we learn in another Braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, lo yomer chagas Sukkos. It didn't have to say that, again in the list of chagamatzes, of chagas shavuos, of chagas Sukkos. It didn't have to say chagas Sukkos. Shabbat dibur akosif, because the pasuk just finished talking about it. So why is it mentioned to tell us that that's the one, that's the key one, that's the one. Once Sukkos passes, then Baal Ta'achar kicks in. So in other words, it comes out, he's doushening the same, he's bringing from the same pasuk as his father, Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon understood it to mean that you need all three of them with Sukkos last, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is saying you just need Sukkos itself is the key one. So here's where Tosfos brings that Rabbi Hananel has a different girsa, where instead Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is learning from the fact that it says Chagamatzes. Given that Chagamatzes is the first one, then it didn't need to mention it again. It could have said that Sholosh Pam Mashana, including B'Chagashvus and B'Chagasukkos. We would have understood that it includes Chagamatzes because that was the first one on the list. If it says B'Chagasukkos, then it means that that's the key one. So in that case, then it comes out that according to that, that he would be learning from a different part of the pasuk than his father Rabbi Shimon is. So the question is, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hai b'chagamatzes, b'chagashvuos, b'chagasukkos, my darish bay. Now, according to the Meir, that one regal is enough to be over, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that two regalim are enough to be over, they're not learning from b'chagamatzes, b'chagashvuos at all. They're learning from different psukim. They're learning from uvasa shama v'avesim shama, or they're learning from Eilat Tassel Hashem Amayadechem. So what are they doing with the pasuk of Chagamatzes of Chagashvuos of Chagasukkos? My Darshubei, what are they darshing from it? The answer is, they darshing me boiluhu l'chud Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Oshia. They use it for the drosha that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Oshia, the Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Oshia, minayin la'atzeres sheyesh la'tashlumin kol shiva. How do we know that Shavuos, you have to shlumin throughout this remainder of the 7 days after it to bring your korbanos? You have to bring Olas Re'iya and you have to bring Shamay Chagiga. In fact, in Masechta Beitza, we had a machlokes with Shamay Beshilol about whether you can even bring the Olas on Yom Tov at all, because after all, you don't eat them. And Beis Shammai had said you have to wait till after Yom Tov, and we said the Alter Rebbe says that even Beis Hillel ended up mostly following Beis Shammai in that regard. Anyway, so how do we know? And then also the Shammai Chagiga. Let's say you didn't have a chance to bring them on Yom Tov. The fact is, we know you have to shlumin after Shavuos. This is why during the days after Shavuos, until up to and including Yud Beis Sivan, we don't say Tachnun on those days because of that. So how do we know that? How do we know that Shavuos has to shlumin? Talmud life for 7 days. Talmud life, b'chag matzis, b'chag shavuos, b'chag sukkos. Therefore, we have this pasuk that puts the three of them together. Makish chag shavuos, b'chag matzis. So it means we have a hekish between shavuos and Pesach. Ma chag matzis yeshle tashlumin kol shiva. Just like Pesach, you can bring your korbanos any time during the 7 days, and we know that because after all, the pasuk says that you have shivas yomim of shivas yomim in which you bring korbanos. So you can bring your korban any time during the 7 days. So therefore, af chag shavuos yesh letashlumin kol shiva. The same thing on shavuos. You have 6 more days after shavuos. So Rashi brings like this. How do we know talk about Pesach and by Sukkot themselves? The pasuk says it says v'chagoyisem oisei chag l'Hashem shivas yomim. It doesn't mean they bring a korban each of the 7 days. Because it says oisoi, so it means that you have one, you bring the korbanos one time, and you have 7 days to do that one time. So by then we know that. But by Shavuos we need to know, so we know it from this hekesh. So the question is, why are we making the hekesh to Pesach? The lekesh l'chag ha-sukkos malahal and shmona afkan shmona. Why don't we instead make the hekesh to Sukkos and say that you have 8 days? Because Sukkos you also have shmini atzeres. The answer is, it's true, you have Shmini Atzeres for that purpose, but Shmini, Rego Bufne Atzmehu. The fact is, Shmini Atzeres is an independent Yom Tov. It's not part of Sukkos. We're comparing Shavuos to a Yom Tov. Therefore, that's going to be the Pesach, where the 7th day is the last day of it. Not the Sukkos, where you have an 8th day, which is a different Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Emo Damrin and Shmini Rego Bufne Atzmehu, written in Pazar Kashab. It's true. We say that Shmini is regular bufnei atzmo as far as 6 halachas, where those are the acronym of them. We had this in Masechta Sukkah a couple of months back, where you have, so Rashi gives it like this. The pay is for pious. So during Sukkot, it tells us at the end of Masechta Sukkah that you had many korbanos. You had 30 korbanos the first day, 30 musaf on the first day, 29 the second day, etc. So they had more than enough to go around among all the mishmaris. They didn't have to make a pious which mishmaris are going to do what avodah, as opposed to on Shmini Atzeres. You only have 10 korbanos for musafim. So therefore, they had to go back to making a pious, so a lottery among the mishmaris to see which one does which avodah. So that's the pay. The Zion is zman that you say Shech Yonu on. They say Shech Yonu separately on Shmini Atzeres. The Reish is regal b'pnei atzmoi. Rashi explains it's a regal in the sense it's not called Chag HaSukkos. It has its own name. It's called Shmini Atzeres. Rashi over there in Sukkah also explains it's also in the sense that you don't have to sit in the Sukkah on it. We sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres because it's fake of the Yoyma, but not that intrinsically Shmini Atzeres requires the Sukkah. Tosfos over here and over there brings a couple of other possibilities. What regal b'pnei atzmoi means, it means also that, it means also that you have to stay extra overnight in your shalayim after it, just like any other time you bring a korban. You don't say, in other words, I already stayed in your shalayim overnight the rest of Yom Tov, therefore I can leave already Shmini Atzeres morning, or even Shmini Atzeres night. And another possibility that means regal b'pnei atzmei brings from Reverend Hananel, as far as Avelos, that Shmini Atzeres by itself can cancel Shiva or Shloshim. So you do have to stay because of Lina. You have a mitzvah of Lina to stay overnight. So if a person, no, during Chol HaMoed is different actually, because during Chol HaMoed you don't store an Avelos yet anyway. No, what it means, so what it is, for example, so I shouldn't say cancel, I should say it reduces. For example, a person's relative passes away shortly before Sukkos, then the first days of Sukkos cancel Shiva. Shmini Atzeres counts as 7 days of the Shloshim.
So now, in other words, what you have is after, so the person passes away and is buried, let's say, Erev Sukkos. We're going to learn about it in Masechta Moed Katan in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem. But if you have, let's say, he passed away and was buried Erev Sukkos, then you have, after the Yom Tov are over, you only have 16 days left of the Shloshim.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's another thing that Regel with Nats, right? Or then, so that's the Reish. The Kuf is Korban with Nats, right? That it has a different type of Korban. Like you said, it doesn't follow the sequence of the Korbanos of the rest of Sukkos. Shin, it's Shir with Nats, right? Which means that it had a Shir Shoyim of its own, not part of the sequence of Shir Shoyim that they had for Sukkos, which again, we learned about at the end of Masechta Sukkah. We talked about that they had various Shir Shoyim urging the people to be careful to give their Trumas and Maestris. So now, Shmini Atzeres, you have a different one. Rashi says it's not clear what it is, although Masechta Sofrim says it's Lamanatzeach HaLashminis, which is Kapitul Yud Beis. Masechta Sofrim is one of the Masechta Katanis. You can find them in a standard Shas at the end of Seder Nezikin. There are a bunch of collections of Brises. They're not really Mishnayis. They're collections of Brises on various halachas. So Masechta Sofrim includes dinim about writing Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzas, which we have some of those dinim in the Gemara, but not a lot of them. And it has also dinim about Kriyas HaTorah and Tefillah B'Tzibur and so forth. When it was composed, nobody's really sure. Yes, I mean that it was composed in the times of the Rabban and Siburoi. But anyway, yeah, it's considered pretty authoritative. What were you going to ask, Ali?
Yeah, the fact that we say in Shpanes, very different, we don't say Chag of Sukkot, we say Shpanes, it also comes to show
right.
That
according to Rashi, that's included in Regel. That's not called Chag of Sukkot. So that's included in Regel. That's included in the Reish. So Shin again is Shira b'Kneatzma, that has a Shira of its own, and Beis is Bracha. So Rashi says it means that they would give the Bracha a king as a Zecher of Chanukah Sabayis, because the Chanukah Sabayis of the first Beis Mikdash took place during the week before Sukkot. Then they celebrated Sukkot all together in the Beis Mikdash. And the pasuk says Bayev Hashmini v'Shilach Hasam by Bracha Hasamelach on the eighth day on Shmini Atzeres, Shlomo gave them permission to go, and they gave a Bracha to Shlomo. So every year after that, they would give a Bracha to the king in memory of that. A different explanation of bracha is that is in fact what you were just saying about that we say Shmini Atzeres Chagazeh in the brachas rather than saying Chagasukot Zeh. Anyway, the point is, so as far as those things, Shmini Atzeres is considered a Yom Tov of its own. Avol in Tashlumin, but when it comes to Tashlumin, for making up for days to make up the korbanos that you missed, Divrei Hakol Tashlumin Derishinu. Everybody agrees that Shmini Atzeres is considered Tashlumin. It's none, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah in Chagiga. Mishalechag Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. A person did not bring his korban Chagiga the first day of Yom Tov. Chayvus Kol Regel. He can bring the Chagiga anytime during the Yom Tov. Ve Yom Tov Achon Shel Chag. And even the last day, even Shmini Atzeres. So why shouldn't we compare Shavuos to Sukkot and say therefore they have 8 days to bring the korbanos? Why instead are we comparing it to Pesach and saying 7 days? And the answer is the famous answer of the Gemara: Tafasta merubalei tafasta, tafasta more tafasta. If you try to grab too much, you don't get anything. Meaning, Rashi explains in other places what that means. In other words, is if we were to say that you're gonna say eight, but how do you know? Maybe it's only seven. Whereas if you say seven, no question, it's seven. It obviously can't be less than that. Tosfos distinguishes over here and in some other places about that there's a difference whether there's an upper limit or not. Here there is an upper limit; it can't be more than eight. Whereas in other places where the Gemara uses that expression to fasta middle by the fasta, there might potentially not even be an upper limit. Anyway, so therefore we're going to compare Shavuos to Pesach and say that in fact you only have 7 days and not eight. So the Gemara is going to continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about, so why does it mention Sukkot if it's not meant for the Hekesh? An interesting side point in that is because, again, as far as Tachnun, as far as not saying Tachnun after Shavuos, our minhag is that we don't say up to and including the 12th of Sivan, which was the end of the Shiva Semei Tashlumin. You have Kehillos where they have the minhag to also not say it on the 13th. Now, why is that? One way is because you have 2 days of Shavuos outside Eretz Yisrael. But that wouldn't be, because so what? In the Beis Mikdash, they only had one. They didn't have Sfeika D'Yoma. So a different explanation is because the Gemara hypothesizes over here that maybe it could be 8 days, even 8 days. So even though we slug it up, nevertheless, that's enough of a basis to say that maybe Yud Gimel Nissen and Yud Gimel Sivan, I mean, is something special also, and not to say Tachman. So that's the reason for the minhag of those Chassidish Kehillos that don't do that.
Shekoyach.
Shekhyonu, obviously, you say only on the one day of Yom Tov. We're talking about over here as far as Yemei Tashlomin.
Have a good day.